Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've had people say to me, and you have probably had people say to you, I cannot believe in God simply by faith. I have to have proof. I must have proof for what I believe. I must be able to understand what I believe. Well, you know from reading verse 3 that they've got it exactly backwards. It says, through faith we understand. It doesn't say, through understanding we have faith. Through faith we understand. But we'll come down to that verse after a while. But so many people have said to me, I just can't believe in God. I've got to have something that I can touch, something I can understand before I can believe it. I have to see first before I can believe. And you've heard me say this, and probably you've heard others say this. The world says, show me and I'll believe. God says, believe and I'll show you. I like that. The world says, show me and I'll believe. They want something tangible, something they can put their eyes on, sink their teeth in, something they can understand with their natural minds. But God says, if you believe, I'll show you. And it's just amazing the light that comes when we believe God's word. When we just take God's word, read it, and say, don't understand it, but I believe it. Oh, then you are opening the door of understanding, and the Lord has a basis now to teach you the truth and show you. He says, believe, and I'll show you. Praise the Lord. Another argument that some people have used is this, and it might be a good answer. Have you ever seen electricity? Well, the person would say no, and you say to them, yet you use electricity. And they say, but I understand electricity. I know the formulas. Electricity works according to theory, and the application brings results. Well, our answer is right. And I understand, we say, God's formulas, and we understand God's principles, and they work. And we have found that application brings results. Praise the Lord. And then you can go on a step further and say, and I'll guarantee you, sir, I'll guarantee you, ma'am, that if you will recognize yourself as a sinner and repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. Because God has promised that very thing. And we can plug in to God's word, just like people plug into electricity, flip a switch, and the motor starts whirring. We can plug in to God's word, and we can find out that the motor will start whirring. It really works. Praise the Lord. One man said, faith is a plunge into the dark. Well, my answer to that is no, that's absolutely wrong. Faith is a plunge into the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and Jesus is the light of the world. And until a man has Jesus, he is in darkness. Look at this world about us today, groping about in darkness. Faith is a plunge out of the dark into the light. Praise the Lord. Faith declares that God can be trusted. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith does not teach us that we will be the richest person in the block. Faith tells us that we will have tribulation and a cross to bear. Faith assures us of grace to bear our cross. Might get hard here. It would be presumption to insist that God must do what we want done before it can be said that we have faith. And that's a big problem with a lot of people today. We'll get into that more. Faith does not insist that God conform to our ideas. But that's a lot of people's understanding of the word faith. God has to conform to what I want, what I think, what I believe. Many Christians grow disillusioned in their Christian walk of faith because God does not conform to their will. And it's a temptation for a Christian to reason, God doesn't love me, when the answer to his prayer is delayed. God doesn't love me. Faith is the conviction that God knows what he is doing even when we don't. I could elucidate on that and say, faith is the conviction that God knows what he is doing even when we don't know what he is doing. Faith is the conviction that God knows what he is doing even when we don't know what we're doing. Take your choice, or take them all. I have quite a few pastor friends, and I remember some years ago, one of my pastor friends got sick. Probably the first time in his Christian life that he had gotten sick. And he believed in faith, and he'd pray for people in the name of Jesus, and something had to happen, or he'd condemn those people. They didn't have faith if they didn't get healed on the spot. So I went up to the hospital right here in Eau Claire, and I visited this man. He wasn't from Eau Claire, but he was in the Eau Claire hospital. I went up and I visited him, and when I walked in the door, he was so defensive. He looked at me and he said, "Oh, Brother Tanberg," and this man, who is an older man like myself, he began to weep. He said, "Oh, Brother Tanberg, I'm sick. I'm hospitalized. I must have lost the faith. Would you pray for me? I must have lost the faith." And I talked with him a while, and I think I convinced him that he lost his health, not his faith. In other words, you can be at your wit's end without being at your faith's end. Oh, we have a distorted understanding, I think, of the word faith sometimes. If faith doesn't do what we want done, we don't think that we've got faith, or we might even doubt the reality of God. I went to the hospital to visit another man years before that, a man who had almost died and was miraculously healed, and he wrote quite a lengthy tract on his experience of divine healing. Maybe some of you knew him from one of our towns in a radius of 60 miles from here, I suppose. But he had written this tract and passed it out probably to thousands of people. And I went up to his room. I had been in his place of business before, and I had heard about his testimony, and that's why I went to visit him and talk to him about his healing. And now years later, he's in the hospital, and he's facing an amputation of his leg, and he had sugar diabetes and other complications. Well, I was so thankful that I went to the hospital to visit this man and comfort him and tell him that he hadn't lost his faith, he had just lost his health. Pointed unto man once to die, and there comes a time when you look around and the Apostle Peter, whose shadow healed multitudes of people, is not here. He's not with us. He's dead. The Apostle Paul is dead. They healed a lot of people in the name of Jesus, but they're dead. They died. Do you know that? Have you resigned yourself to that fact today, that you and I are really going to die one day unless Jesus comes first? No matter how much faith you have, you can have tons of faith, you're still going to die one day. It's appointed unto men once to die. But don't we die in faith?
Yes.
These all died in faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we can be at our wit's end without being at our faith's end. Keep the faith. The Apostle Paul, well, we'll get into that in a few minutes. He said when he was facing the chopping block, "I have kept the faith." You'd think, and I've heard some people preach that he lost the faith. No. 1,000 times no. Webster says, faith is unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. I like that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Webster says, faith is unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. Do you like that? Oh, Brother Webster, you got that one right, didn't he? Substance, number 5287. Hypostasis, if I pronounce it right. According to Vines, it means confidence, assurance. So, faith is the confidence. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. How many know there's a heaven? I mean, you know it. See, you have faith. Faith is the confidence. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. We have faith. It doesn't matter if we cannot produce it in the palm of our hand and show it to our unbelieving neighbor. It doesn't matter if they don't believe it. We know there is a heaven. How many know they are saved today? Praise the Lord. See, you know it, and yet you cannot prove it to this unbelieving neighbor of yours. He says, prove it to me. Put it in the test tube. Show me. You can't. You can't. It's an inner work. It's inside you. The new man is invisible, and he's on the inside. But he's doing a great work with our outside. Praise the Lord. Hupostasis, to stand. Stasis is to stand, and hupo is under. That which stands under a foundation is what Strong says. So faith is our foundation. Now faith is the foundation of things hoped for. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Oh, the world gets mad when you say you know something. You know why they get so mad? Because they don't know anything. They really do. They don't know anything for sure. They change their first aid rules. As the years go by, they change their techniques on different things. They change their theories. And you read the papers and you'll see that there's a new theory now on this dinosaur. And they drew it. How many saw that in the paper? They drew a picture of the ugly looking thing, you know. And they say, well, here's a new theory now. That's why they can't believe that we know something for sure. When we say, I know I'm saved, I know I'm born again, I know I'm a child of God, I know I have the Holy Ghost. Oh, they don't like that. You just say that. You talk positive. You talk as a Gnostic instead of an agnostic. You know, people brag that they're agnostics. I am an agnostic. Stupid. Agnostic means I don't know. Agnostic means I don't know, and they go around bragging that they don't know. Talk about ignorant. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, it's good to go through an agnostic world knowing something. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Evidence, number 1650. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence means, according to Strong's, proof. Evidence means conviction. So, faith is the confidence. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the proof or the conviction of things not seen. Praise the Lord. Edward Fudge said, and I quote, faith is convinced of future good because it knows that the good for which it hopes already exists invisibly in God. Praise the Lord. The more you believe this, the better you will serve God. And we are so careful to work out our own future. Oh, we are so careful to worry and fuss and fret and work out our own future. And as a result, we become so careless with the Word of God. The Word of God says, have faith in God. The Word of God has the answer to all the financial programs in the world today, if men would only have faith in God. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall, everybody say shall be added unto you. Can Jesus lie? No, he said, I am the truth. He said, the devil's a liar. I am the truth. And we fuss and we fret and we scurry here and there and work so hard to work out our financial programs. And Jesus had the answer encapsulated in one verse. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Did you get up and pray before you went out job hunting? Seek you first the kingdom of God. Did you get up and read the scripture before you anything else? Did you put God first? Do I put God first before I come and preach? Do you put God first before you go out and witness to people? When you worry about your finances, have you prayed? Have you read your Bible? Have you sought God? Have you witnessed? Have you been faithful to church? Have you tithed? Even when you were almost broke and somebody gave you a dime, did you put a penny away? Give it back to God. Think about those things. That, my friend, is seeking first the kingdom of God. I can't afford to tithe. You're going hungry, man. I can't afford not to.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God says, Jesus said, have faith in God. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. People don't know what faith really is. There are many misconceptions about faith. Some people think if you are healed, you have faith. If you are not healed, you don't have faith. Some people think if you are rich, you have faith. And if you are not rich, you don't have faith. You know, maybe some people don't know that there are people that think like that, but I'll prove it to you from the scripture, Matthew 19, 25. In fact, we should back up to Matthew 19, verse 16, and read a little story there, and let me explain something to you. I'm talking about a misconception of faith. Many people do not know what faith really is. They think that if you are rich, you have faith in God. You are one of God's faithful people. You have been obedient to God, and you have put Him first because you are rich. That's the proof of it. And that's just what they thought in Jesus' day. Let me read it to you. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto Him, good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. I had a Trinitarian use that verse against me on the Godhead one time. This is not on the subject now, if I can just stray from the subject for a second. He said to me, there, Mr. Tanberg. The Bible said, Jesus Himself said, there is none good but one, that is God. He said, doesn't that make two? Jesus and God, right there, that makes two. I said, well, sir, then you're telling me that Jesus is no good. He said, no, I didn't say that. I said, yes, you did. You said they're two separate beings, and you said there's none good but the one, and that's God, and everybody else is no good. Then you said, you just told me Jesus is no good. He said, I didn't say that. I said, yes, you did. He did, didn't he? And so I said to him, you either have to admit that Jesus is God or He is no good. Because Jesus said, there's only one good, and that's God. I'm glad Jesus said, I and my Father are one.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good. He didn't say He wasn't good. He said, why do you call me good? Who gave you the revelation that I am He, that I am Jehovah, that I am God in the flesh? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Praise the Lord. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. And then Jesus quickly got back to the subject here. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. See, Jesus, all-seeing eye, His piercing eye, saw the man's problem. And give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that was like dropping a bomb. That was like coming out with a brand new doctrine here. A rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When His disciples heard it, because this was some new thing to them, when His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Because they thought that because the way the Old Testament pronounced the blessing of God on their obedience to God, that surely wealth and being rich was the result of their faith in God. And Jesus just exploded that theory right there. He exposed their misunderstanding of the Old Testament. He said, and they said, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So some people don't really know what faith is, and they have these misconceptions. They think if you're healed, they have faith. If you're not healed, they don't have faith. If you're rich, you have faith. If you aren't rich, you don't have faith. But Jesus said, blessed are the poor, for they have the gospel preached unto them. Praise the Lord. Some people think if you are successful, you have faith. And we have a lot of that teaching today. I know there's one group today, businessmen and so on, you know, they go around, they're telling their success stories everywhere they go. Success stories, success stories. And that thing started many years ago, and it has spread until all kinds of people now are preaching that if you're not successful, you just don't have faith in God. And did you read the article that a preacher, Brother Dugas, gave us up at the rally Friday night? These preachers, they wear little radios, and the wife is in the back room, and she's telling the preacher all these statistics and details, and he goes up there and he calls out their name, and this guy with a hip problem, or what else has he got, a kidney problem, he comes up and he says, your name is such and such, you're so old, you're born on such a date, you live at such an address, and here he's got it all on his little radio there. Fraud, fraud, fraud. They're doing all kinds of things today. But they got to be successful. They've got to be successful. Some preachers are bragging about the expensive possessions that they have, and that they declare as their diamonds flash, you know, before the congregation, how that you have to be successful to prove your faith in God. And some people believe that you don't have faith in God unless you are always delivered from your troubles. I should say always immediately delivered from your troubles. For as long as you're in trouble, certainly you don't have faith, they say. When you come out of your trouble, there's the faith. Well, Paul died without faith then, didn't he? Because he died in prison. Let's take a look at the life of Paul. The Apostle Paul said, in probably the last chapter he ever wrote to son Timothy, I have kept the faith. Now that sounds great, doesn't it? I have kept the faith. Oh, that has a victorious ring to it. I have kept the faith. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Why? It sounds like Paul never had a bad day in his entire life. I have kept the faith. All through my life, I have kept the faith. It's a good thing that we have a record of Paul's life, or we all might have been deceived. Let's just read a brief, undetailed review of Paul's life in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and beginning at verse 18. Now here's the man who said, I have come into this faith, I have live by faith. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet he lived by faith of the Son of God. Here's the man who said at the end of his earthly sojourn, I have kept the faith. Now just listen to what this man went through. Here is an undetailed review, a brief review of Paul's history, of Paul's life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. They kind of forced him into it. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And if you have any questions about the thorn in the flesh, you have the answers right here. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now here is a lesson in faith and understanding that very, very few, extremely few Christians understand, believe, understand experientially. Listen to it. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I think if you got the truth out of any honest preacher, he would tell you that when he felt the weakest, he preached his hardest. Because he wasn't trusting in his personal health, his personal strength. He leaned on God. And God came down with the anointing of the Holy Ghost and overruled his physical weakness. I could give you my own testimony. I had come over here with not feeling good. And God has touched me right here. Praise the Lord. But oh, what a lesson to learn. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, can we say with Paul, you can see if you have had this experience now or not. You can judge whether or not you have this understanding right now. Ask yourself, can I honestly say with the Apostle Paul, most gladly therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me? Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. If this passage doesn't tell us anything else, it tells us that there's room for more growth in every one of our lives. Anybody amen that?
Amen.
Amen. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. What a man, what an attitude. And that's the man that had his head cut off. That's the man who said, just before he had his head cut off, I have kept the faith. I didn't lose the faith. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I said it sounds like Paul never had a bad day in his entire life, but we just read about some pretty bad days that he had. Some days that I wouldn't want to go through, and I don't think you'd want to go through. But God gave that man grace to go through those things, and I know that there's room for more growth in myself and in all of us here today. Praise the Lord. Now, just turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul writes probably the last chapter he ever wrote. He's writing to Timothy. And I think that Paul writes both powerfully and pathetically from prison. Just listen to this chapter oozing with pathos. Paul writes powerfully and pathetically from prison. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a dying man, a man facing death, I should say. A man who is facing death. And he's writing from prison. He's going to give his head for the gospel's sake. And he just got done writing. The ink is dry. you know, I have kept the faith, and then they take his life. Okay? Here's what he wrote. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Oh my, what words from a faithful preacher of the gospel. He says, Timothy, I'm going to die, I'm going to be gone, and I am entrusting this gospel to you. Oh, Timothy, I charge you, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Because, Timothy, if you don't reprove and rebuke, you're going to let some things go on in the church. You're going to let some people stay in the church that are going to poison the rest of the church. Oh, Timothy, be faithful, Timothy, my son. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke people when they need rebuking. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Timothy, the time is coming when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. O Timothy, endure afflictions. Don't whimper and whine and cry and fuss and fret. Endure afflictions. Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now there, I think, is where the Apostle Paul writes powerfully. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Oh, you talk about victory. He's in prison. Can you shout the victory in prison? I have kept the faith. I can almost hear it just ringing down the corridors of the prison and going up the stairway and all through the praetorium there. Hallelujah. The victorious cry of a man who is going to be executed for the name of Jesus. I have kept the faith. Can you hear it ringing down to 1986? I have kept the faith. Well, there's a lot of radio preachers, television preachers, magazine preachers today that don't like that. In fact, I have on file preachers that have written articles against the Apostle Paul. That he was out of the will of God when he was in prison. When he was in Philippi and the earthquake released him from prison. That was the will of God. He had faith then. But the hypocrite is writing about faith now, and he doesn't have it, these preachers are trying to tell us. I don't believe it. I love the Bible. Paul went on and said, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me. You see, faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Praise the Lord. The substance of things not seen, the evidence of things hoped for. There it is. Faith. He had faith. He knew it. The loss of his head didn't change him. Nothing can change real faith. Praise the Lord. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He knew it. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Well, we better be looking for Jesus to come. We better be loving his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Here's where the pathos begins. Here's where he starts writing pathetically, I think. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And he's going to say that again. He was a human being. A human being. For Demas hath forsaken me. But isn't that pathetic? Demas hath forsaken me. Having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. I'm here all alone. But Luke is here. Just Luke. Take Mark and bring him with thee. We could talk about that. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Just listen to some more pathos. Or feel some more pathos. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Some more. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also? For he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me. Just listen to this. But all men forsook me. Paul said, I kept the faith. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Paul knew he was right, and he knew they were wrong. He knew it. Paul knew he was right. Boy, it's good to know you're right. You that believe in God, you that believe in Jesus Christ, you that believe the Holy Ghost is for 1986, you know you're right, don't you? Is it wrong to know something? This world, this unbelieving world, would have us think that we are arrogant when we declare that we know something. No, we know something. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila, Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Salute the household of Onesiphorus. You know, in the first chapter of this epistle, he mentioned Onesiphorus. If that's how you pronounce it, that's the way I do. And he said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. He said in the verse before that, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, abandoned, forsaken by all of his Christian friends. But he stuck to the truth, and now he's charging Timothy, saying, oh, son Timothy, preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And doctrine, keep that doctrine strong, clean, pure, unadulterated. Keep it up, Timothy. Don't let anybody talk you out of preaching and teaching doctrine. Hallelujah. So he says, salute the household of Onesiphorus. Then he said, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus, is this pathetic? Is this ringing again with pathos? But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. See? He lost the faith. He left the man sick. In the same chapter, probably with the same dip of ink, the apostle wrote, I have kept the faith. I left Trophimus at Miletum sick. Boy, faith preachers don't like this verse. I mean, not faith preachers, but quote-unquote faith preachers. Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. But the Apostle Paul cried in verse 7, I have kept the faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Paul writes to the Philippians from prison. He said in verse chapter 1, verse 12, Philippians 1, 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So that his bonds were manifest in all the palace. This is what he wrote to the Philippians from prison. Now, listen. He said, you Philippians, I want you to understand that what happened to me was just another opportunity God gave me to spread the gospel to every creature. Who else would witness to the police department, the sheriff's department? Who is in there witnessing? Who is in the Roman prison witnessing to those people? So Paul went to prison. And Paul said, oh, Timothy, it's not over. I'm winning souls, Timothy. I'm winning souls. And he writes to the Philippians, I'm winning souls, even in prison. Praise the Lord. And so he said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Can't you see that when they changed the guard? Paul talked about his chain. So he was chained to a soldier. Can't you see the Apostle Paul sitting there writing his letters with one chain to the soldier and the other hand free to write? And the soldier's looking over, well, what are you writing there? What is that? I don't know what all happened, but I know that he said, I want to greet you from some from Caesar's household. He had won some souls in prison, I believe. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, he said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. Then he said, but the Word of God is not bound. They can lock me up, they can chain me, but they can't lock the Word of God up. They can't chain the Word of God down. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is not bound. Hallelujah. Faith is more than just believing God for the things that I want. This is some people's understanding of faith. If I get what I want, I have faith. If I don't get what I want, I don't have faith. And so we cry and cry and pray and pray for what we want. Faith is more than just believing God for the things I want so I can have my way and do what I want to do. See how I is in the forefront there? I. The Bible is a book that tells us what God wants. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Thou shalt obey my word, and it will be well with thee. The Bible is a book that tells us what God wants, and faith is what is given to us by God so we can do what God wants us to do.
Amen.
I hope that's not too deep for anybody. Let me run that by again. Faith is more than just believing God for the things that I want so I can have my way and do the things that I want to do. The Bible is a book that tells us what God wants. And faith is what is given to us by God so we can do what God wants us to do. Think about it. That came to me yesterday afternoon and I put it down. I thought, I looked at it, I meditated and I said, is that right? And I sifted it through the scripture and I said, yep, that's right. That's right. That's right. Romans 12, 21, God commands, overcome evil with good. That's a command from God. Overcome evil with good. 1 John 5, 4 says, here is how we overcome. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is what is given to us from God, by God, so that we can do what God wants us to do. Praise the Lord. And of course, you can also read through faith. We understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God by faith. Noah by faith. Abraham by faith. Everybody else, they did it through faith. Faith was given to them by God so they could fulfill the will of God. Praise the Lord. James said in 2:18, show me thy faith without thy works. He said, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, faith is productive. Faith produces good works. Shall we stand?